This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Our next guest is Katina Curzis, who's a Fairfax Press Gallery journalist. Good morning to you, Katina.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Great to have you on the airwaves, and thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday morning for us. We're really interested in some of your writing and some of your analysis around the impact or the way in which social media is used to advertise political parties during elections. Give us mm-hmm. your top headline sort of issues, and then we'll sort of delve into the topic a little bit.
I think actually a lot of the issue with social media advertising is that it's there's really not that much transparency around it. The ads can be really, really hyper-targeted to people based on very specific locations or demographic characteristics. And unless you fit within that group, it's kind of really hard to have much visibility over what other people are seeing.
So you're saying there's not very much regulation in the social media space?
Well, it's more about the way that they buy the ad space. So I wrote this week, for instance, about Clive Palmer's ad buy. Now, he has been buying a lot of ads everywhere in every medium. But for instance, you know, if his ads run on the television during the tennis, there's lots of people watching the tennis, everyone sees the same ad. The same thing, there's been straps, he's had banner ads on the fronts of the newspapers, my newspaper, basically all the newspapers. For months and months, he's had this banner ad on the front of the papers. Everyone can see it. You can see the same ad. But the ads that he's running on Facebook, you only see those if you are getting them in your Facebook feed. So I haven't seen any Clive Palmer ads on Facebook, for instance. They're not sending
neither have I, Katina. I mean, you'd have to be blind or completely like have your head buried in the sand if you hadn't seen a Clive Palmer ad, because they are absolutely everywhere. But I've not seen a single ad in my social media platforms. So what's that about?
Well, it's because they can choose. This is anyone who advertises on Facebook, you know, whether they're advertising clothes or political party or furniture, whatever it is. They can choose really carefully who it is very specifically that they want to target. You know, it might be a particular age group. It might be people who live in a particular area, a marginal seat, for example, or people who like particular types of music or books or culture or whatever it is that their research tells them are the people that will be most open to hearing their message. So it's not just the United Australia Party who does this. We've seen there's a bit of a fuss at the end of last year, for example. Labor was running a lot of ads telling people that pensioners, the government wanted to push the pensioners onto the cashless welfare card, which the government has denied again and again and again. But, you know, there's this saying, oh, well, they could do it, so that the ads are not, ads are leading people to believe the wrong thing, but the way, like, they're worded very carefully.
So it clearly sounds like I'm not a target of any of those political parties because I don't get any of their ads.
Obviously not. I just seem to get ads for like shoes and things. So.
Well, I won't tell you what sort of ads I get now. Tooth implants and tree napkins.
So, Katina, it's Macca. Do you think this advertising, and look, we've all seen the billboards, you know, we've heard in some cases the radio ads, incidentally not run on this station. But do you think this advertising actually has an impact? You know, what's your gut feel tell you about that?
It's kind of twofold, the impact. I think, really the last election in 2019 was the first time where we saw this kind of one individual, one party having just this sheer volume of advertising, everywhere advertising. And on the one hand, people say, oh, well, it didn't work for Palmer. He didn't get a single person elected. But his advertising in the last campaign was overwhelmingly anti-Bill Shorten, right? That was the one message that his ads had. And it clearly did have an impact particularly in Queensland, where the swings towards the coalition up there in a lot of their seats were much higher than they were elsewhere in the country. So it's interesting, this time around his message is very much don't trust either of the major parties, so that's kind of interesting. It will be, whereas last time it was just saying don't trust Labor, this time he's saying don't trust either of them. So it's kind of hard to say how that would play out in the people who he does attract to vote. But then the other aspect of just this sheer volume of advertising is it means no one else can buy ads.
Of course.
There's
only a limited amount of space.
Exactly. And the Labor's election review of the 2019 election actually found that in that final week of the campaign, Clive Palmer's party bought more television and radio spots combined than the Labor and Liberals combined. So, you know, and they were like, they just couldn't get spots to buy ads because he had it all tied up.
Katina, let's talk a bit about integrity. One of the issues that Macron and I often talk about is integrity in public discourse, but also integrity in advertising. So what we're seeing is Clive Palmer running a whole lot of messaging, and we understand that Google are doing their very best to try to stop misinformation.
As long as he doesn't stop advertising.
Exactly. So how does that one work?
Well, at the moment, I mean, there's no law in Australia that says that a political ad has to tell the truth. Mm. So there's... Like there's regulation around, you know, identifying who's behind an ad, but there's no regulation around the content.
One of our listeners is absolutely aghast about this, sending messages saying WTF. I'm not sure quite what that means.
I mean, I think, Katina, one of the things that struck me, and you might be familiar with this ad with Craig Kelly, and it was a television ad. It was probably on social media, talking about the United Australia Party, and that the United Australia Party had actually provided two previous prime ministers,
right?
Billy Hughes and Joe Lyons, right?
Yep.
Well, yes, the United Australia Party that provided those prime ministers actually went out of existence in 1949 when it was replaced with the Liberal Party.
Yes,
the United Australia Party, you know, which Clive Palmer has renamed his party. You know, so the United Australia Party had not provided two prime ministers. An outright lie. Now, did we hear from the Federal Liberal Party? I can't remember seeing anything about, you know, disputing this claim.
I think they've kind of been trying to ignore it, is the answer. So there was, when Clive Palmer registered his party name, there's a bureaucratic process that has to be go through, and there was some outcry then, including from, if I recall correctly, I think there was some descendants of those prime ministers who were outraged that they were sort of claiming that they had this lineage. But then it's just kind of gone, you're right, the kind of fuss and attention on it has gone away a bit. Mm. And I guess that there's probably you know, there's an element of thinking there about, well, we don't want to give him the airtime from the, you know, from his political opponent, thinking, well, we don't want to, if you spend time rebutting the claims, you just get tied up in doing that and you don't,
yeah, I mean, why,
you don't get to do anything else.
Why would you call out a lie? I mean, really, I mean.
So, Katina, from your perspective, as somebody who studies this and observes this very closely, does this sort of advertising actually work? Does it sway opinions? Does it sway what people do in the ballot box?
I think it does to an extent. I think that it probably picks up people who are maybe already feeling disaffected with the major or the more established parties. And it's sort of, they'll have, you know, they'll have the jingle in their mind, or the just be seeing yellow and black every time they shut their eyes. I don't know. And, you know, so then it attracts them over. I mean, you just remember this time, this election coming, the sort of, there's a bit more of a competition for that disaffected vote with, on the right, you've got the United Australia Party, but there's also One Nation as well. I mean, they really are competing for the same, more or less the same group of voters.
And is it that larger group? Is it that larger group that it can make a difference?
Well, it depends on what seat you're looking at. you know, I think we saw in the last election, and I think we've seen this probably over the last decade as well, that at the moment...
Somewhere north of Victoria, you mean?
Yeah, I was going to say that group's been more concentrated in Queensland in particular, I think we've seen. But then again, you know, South Australia often returns a sort of conservative independent in the Senate. So there's obviously a group of people in South Australia who are looking. I'm thinking like they've had Family First in there a few times, and just a few of those sort of more conservative minor parties.
Katina, so we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to leave you with this sort of final thought, if I may. For all those Richmond fans out there, they must be bleeding that their colours have been taken away from them and pumped up in this way by... What are they?
You're
the PUP? They're not PUP
you're
anymore.
You're just saying that because your partner's a Richmond fan.
Oh, no, I'm married to them. But I would be bleeding if I were them to know that the P... Aren't they? They're not PUPs anymore, are
United
they?
United Australia.
UAPs. I prefer them as the pups. Katina, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really great conversation. Keep up the great work and the analysis.
You.
And we
thank
look
you.
Forward to reading more of your work in the press, of course. And we'd love to actually have further conversations with you as we lead into the election.
Lovely. Sounds great. Good to talk to you.
Enjoy thank the rest you. Of your day.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.